We are entering a very serious, very dangerous time in history, in America, in the world. You know, we're at a very, very dark time in our country and in the world. You know, it's a world that has been governed by Satan for so long, and more of it's being handed over to his realm. And there's a great darkness of his influence. But God has a plan. And in that darkness, his light can shine even brighter. And he wants to rescue and bring people into truth and bring them into light and out of that darkness. I want to share some things today that I think are very important. We had a meeting 1 month ago, February 23rd, and today is March 23rd. I think that's significant. On February 23rd, we had a very special service. God really showed up. And someone in here, I don't know, one of our leaders, felt it was time to pray for Harvey and I. All the leaders and ministers came and prayed, and some of the children, and something happened that day. We feel like there was a paradigm shift in what God is going to do here. It was an open, new door, a new season that we're going into with the Lord. And we didn't understand what all that meant. But during that 1 month period, we've had about 10 of our people in this congregation, I think it was five different people, have had visions, dreams, prophecies that have been coming, about 10 of them in that 1 month. That's really a lot. I mean, it's geared up. God's trying to tell us something. He's trying to show us something. He's trying to prepare us for something. We've had prophecies and visions of warnings of things that would come and our part in rescuing people. We've had those for years, and a lot of them have been on hold for years. People have always brought them to me, and sometimes I get interpretations. Sometimes I just have to put them on the waiting shelf. But lately, they're just coming. They're just flooding in so fast. And I've sat down and tried to put them together and say, God, put this puzzle together for me. Show me. And he said, it's time to connect the dots of all these visions, prophecies, and dreams. It's time to connect the dots. And I went, where do I begin? And he said, you cannot do it alone. You need a team. You have to have your prophetic team helping you. So those of you in our leadership, you know who you are. If you are prophetic, if you're having visions and dreams or have had toward this ministry and what God's doing, I'm inviting you to join me at 3 o'clock on Sunday starting next week, and we're going to sit down and connect dots. Since I agreed with God to set that study group up, he showed me that each of the prophets here has something different. I love colors. I get a lot of things that come in waves and sometimes weather and, you know, things like that, winds and waves and colors and that type of thing. And I love a mystery. I love things to come in mystery ways, and God unravels the mystery. Nate gets a lot of things musically in sound. Larry, who's not here today, gets things in the picture of wars and soldiers and that type of thing. So all of our prophets get things in different ways. So when we bring that together, I'll just mention Janine Dudley because that came to my mind this morning. She gets things in a very emotional state. And Dudley, he seems to just see into the demonic realm, identify the demons, and know what to do with them to run them off. So when we bring all these type of prophets together and we go through these visions, each one will see a different aspect and be able to gather information from that aspect. And then we'll be able to bring it together and put these pieces together. It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be really amazing. God wants to work in teams. Now, if you're not on our leadership ministry team, but you've been having visions and dreams, I want to hear them. I want you to write them down and get them to me. Just because you're not in leadership here doesn't mean you're not getting these. So, for instance, I've been seeing things about whirlwinds and twisters, and that's been coming from so many people. I go online and I see my grandson saying, does anybody else keep seeing twisters or whirlwinds? And two of his buddies answer me and say, yeah, I am. Judy's grandson, who wasn't coming in here, went and told her he was having dreams like that. So your dreams and visions are very important. When I first started moving in a church in prophecy, and I wrote things down and I took them to the pastors, and they didn't do anything with it. They didn't even acknowledge it. It was like they folded it up, put it in a pocket, and didn't care. And I was like, God, why would you show me something like that and there's no one to tell it to? Well, maybe you just don't know whether it's of God or not of God. But bring it anyway. That's why the prophets are accountable to the prophets, so that we can weigh them all and find the confirmations to know what really is what God is saying. We, after our team has done this, will take it to other prophetic teams and find out what God is saying to them. Because I think this is big. I think this is something very big. What I want to do this morning to just bring you in line with this is I want to talk about the condition of America today compared to Babylon and realize the severity of a nation that has gone that deep into sin, so that you can realize where we're at and what trouble we're in if we don't see some repentance in America. We may find ourselves guilty of some of these things, even though we are God's people. And where I'm going to read to you from Revelation 18, actually, this angel was speaking to God's people, because in the midst of it, he said to God's people, come out. Come out. So, and he said, don't partake of her sins, so that you won't partake of the plagues that are coming because of her sins. God is warning us to be separate from these things. We need to separate from them. So Babylon, we're going to read about in Revelation 18, if you want to turn there. Father, we just put this in your hands, and we ask you to stir our spirits with truth, with revelation, with the warnings. But in the warnings, realize, God, that as we give our lives to you and as we walk with you in love, we have joy, we have peace, we have love, and we do not live in fear. We are here as rescuers to find others who will come and give their life to you, to find those even who do go through these disasters and are devastated, if they survive, to go and give them another chance to heal them and bring them to you. Father, we want to go in love. We don't want to be condemning, judgmental of people. We want to rescue people. So give us your heart, give us your mind, and give us your revelation as we read this chapter, in the name of Jesus. I'm going to read it, and then we'll talk about it for a minute. Would you read that? Revelation 18, the whole.
And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication, and live deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen, and purple, and silk, and scarlet, and all thyine wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off, for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls! For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster, and all the company in ships, and sailors, and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads, and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman, of whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets, and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth.
I want to mention just a few things. I'm going to read some of the prophecies that have come in the last month, so that you get a feel for what God is saying to us at Burning Bush. But I also want to point out a few things from this chapter that I want you to be listening for and aware of, not only in America. Because I've looked at this. I mean, so many years I've looked at it and said, are we Babylon? Is America Babylon? Could it be that we're the modern Babylon? We're so guilty of everything here, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. But when I get to the part where it talks about frankincense and the oils and the slaves and the pearls and the, you know, it starts going on about all the stuff that was being in the trade system, I don't think one country owns all of it. I don't think one country owns all of that. So I'm kind of leaning toward Babylon is a system of evil, and it represents many nations, not only America, but including America. So we are in that list of nations of a very greedy, money-hungry, power-hungry, and just becoming evil to achieve that kind of power. We are great leaders in that race for power and wealth. When the angel came down to the earth, said the earth was lighted. I like that part, with his glory, because this is an angel of God. And when this angel of God comes, there's illumination, there's revelation, there's hope, there's light. So in this dark, dark Babylonian system that's going on, God comes down in his glory as hope. And his light shines brightest in this darkness. As we carry the light and love of God, we bring light into every dark situation. So there is hope, and that is what we're supposed to be doing in this time. He cried mightily. That word mightily meant a lot of things. It meant instrumentally. You can cry with your instruments. You can cry with a purpose. He cried against and among and in a position very forcefully. This was a positioned angel at the right time. In the book of Esther, it says, perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Well, we were born for such a time as this. And God's angels cry through us. So God wants to come down, give us revelation and light, and his power through us to begin to cry out from our position, whatever that is, wherever he's positioned you to be crying out these warnings and offering people hope. When it says Babylon the Great is fallen, you might think, well, it already fell, too late, too bad. But if you look up those words fallen, it also can mean falling. And I think it was meant to say falling because he's still given warning. If it had already happened, it would be too late to warn. But this angel wants us to carry a warning while there is still time. So we see that. And this part really stood out to me when it said that, talking about the darkness and all the evil. I mean, we know there's abortion, there's hate, there's murder, there's incest, there's porn, there's just all kinds of evil going on in our country. More and more they're taking God out of everything, off the money, out of the schools. So we see that there's every manner of evil. But the part that really jumped out when it said, every unclean and hateful bird. What is the most unclean, hateful bird you can think of? A vulture. One of our visions saw our American eagle transform into a vulture in one of our visions. That really jumped out to me. The detestable, loveless bird. When you look up the meaning of some of that, it says that they're immoral, they're impure, they're detestable, and they're loveless. The vulture is loveless. It just goes for blood, hunger, to devour. All the nations drink of this fornication. Fornication, adultery against God, turning away from God to the things of this system of money and wealth and greed and comfort and just, I want more, 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 more. What about me? I want to play. I want to have fun. Just living in this delicious, comfortable, easy American lifestyle. Now, I think America might be the most guilty country of living in that kind of comfort and luxury. The rest of the nations look at us as the most spoiled, selfish, greedy country. And we really fill the bill on that definition there. But God says, my people, come out of her. We can't pack up and get out of America. Where would we go? The other nations are moving in the same direction. So he's not talking about get out of America. He's talking about get out of this system. Get out of living for money. Get out of living for luxury. Get out of the pride, the greed, the lying, deception, the violence. Come out of the system. We have to make a choice to say, I do not want that stuff. Now, we live in a nice house. It's not my fault. God put us there, and he won't let us leave yet. Every spring I say, can we sell it this year, God? There's so much more you could do with that money. And every spring, not yet, not yet. God has a purpose. I don't know what it is. But you can't, I'm not saying you can't have anything. I'm saying you can't hold on to anything. Like, I have to have this to be happy. I have to have this to trust God. He's got to pay my rent or God doesn't like me. No, he's building the character of Christ in us.
Right.
And in doing that, sometimes we have to suffer. We have to lose. We have to go through trials and persecutions because that's where we begin to develop the trust of Christ, the faith. Faith isn't faith unless it's tested. If you're living in the lap of luxury, you don't need to trust God for your money. We did not always live in a nice house. We've lived in basements. We've lived in little trailers. We've lived in a different basement every 2 weeks. We were told, there's nowhere for you, so every 2 weeks a different family will take you in. We've lived separated in different basements, not even together. We've stood in lines begging for food. We got worse than welfare because we had paperwork so messed up welfare wouldn't give us anything. So we had to stand in lines just begging. Food pantries, a lot of you have been there. And you know, sometimes what you get there is rusty cans and you can't get two cans of the same thing. We've been there. We've been tested. When you're tested, do you still trust him? Can you be like Job and trust him? Even when you feel like God is against you, he is not against you. He's building Christ in you,
right,
whatever it takes for your sake to get you out of all the dark influence of this system of Babylon. Because she's got a cup, and every time she sins, it's filling this cup, filling the cup, filling the cup, filling the cup. God is so patient, yet judgment will come if sin is not repented of.
Right.
And her cup, in this chapter, it says her cup is full. There's no more time, and it's time now that the judgments come, the plagues come, the disasters come, the enemy wars come. These things begin to come. It's multifaceted what is coming. That's why we can't just sit down and say, God told all of us there's going to be a twister come through this area. It's not just a twister. It's not just a wave. It's not just one thing. It's many things that are coming. Many, multifaceted. And when we read through these visions, you will hear that. The different ways. Sometimes it's a wave that's full of various colors. That would be mine. Then when it's Larry's, it's a speckled horse with all kinds of things going on that speckled horse, with a multicolored lance being thrown down like a gauntlet, the challenge. But we hear multiple things coming. It says, "Be don't be a partaker of her sin so that you won't receive of her plagues." Sometimes we wonder, why, when a plague comes through the town, does it also hit Christians? But it can. We can't turn against God when it does. The Apostle Paul said, "I had a thorn in my flesh, and I besought the Lord 3 times to take it away." And he said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And then he told Paul, "Lest you get proud because of all the revelations and visions I give you, you need something to keep you humble. So I'm not taking that thorn out of your flesh."
Right.
Some people think he had bad eyes and had big old googly glasses, you know, and probably felt like, "Yeah, I believe in healing. You know, I've seen the dead raised, but my eyes are still no good." We don't understand that. Catherine Coleman walked out on a platform, and many people got healed. She went back to bed with a bad heart. Never got healed, her bad heart. We don't understand God, but we know God. We know that he's good. We know that he loves us. We know that this life is where we make our choice. And then we trust him to begin forming the character of Christ in us, transforming us, preparing us for heaven, where we live without hate and murder and violence and greed. And he needs to get those things out. And he heals us of the woundedness and the heartaches and the things that this world has done to us. And he prepares us for our position here. And we're being prepared now for our positions here. And we need to know what our position is and get in it and stand in it.
Amen.
The system of Babylon glorified herself. It was all about herself. She lived deliciously in luxury and pride and power and comfort. And when it says her plagues came in one day, it means suddenly. Suddenly. There are suddenly things that are going to come. And in the visions and prophecies we've had, God has said, "Watch this. Ask me about this. Do this. Get ready. Because if you wait until you see proof, it's too late." When Noah built the boat, 120 years, he preached, he warned, he said, "It's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain." People said, "You've been harping on that going to rain stuff for 119 days and it's never rained. Crazy old man, years, and it never rained." But on the 120th day when it began to rain and they saw the clouds, years, and they saw the clouds and they saw the first drops and they said, "Oh no, he's right." And they ran to the boat and the door was shut and locked and it was too late. You can look at the visions that are coming, the prophecies, the warnings, and say, I don't see any sign of it. You know, way back when you guys were over there, you went and you stored up food and pillows and blankets and masks, gas masks. We got gas masks. We do. We're ready for some things. When you said those things back then, and none of it ever happened. You know what? We have flu brew. God gave me a recipe that cures flu. He also gave it to another lady on the same time She came over excited telling me, and I showed her mine. We had the same recipe. Very simple. It's just red wine and hyssop, fresh green hyssop. But it had to age. It had to cure. It had to age for a long time. We have that. And I've told our whole congregation we have that. And yet, I'm not allowed to go to you when I know you have the flu and say, hey, I got the medicine for that. Try it. You know I have it. If you don't come and ask for it, I'm not allowed to go and offer it. People come to Jesus when they're sick. We don't go up to the hospital and try to heal everybody in every bed. They have to come to Jesus.
Right.
So when he says, I have something for you, you have to come and get it.
Right.
Now, I've seen people have flu for 2 straight weeks, and it's just killing me. They didn't ask for it. And then I've seen others get the same flu, take it, and be done in a day or two. It works. It really works on the flu. However, I don't think we're supposed to use it up every time we get a little bit sick to the stomach. I think it's for a plague, flu-like plague that will kill people. That could be swine flu after it mutates and changes. It may become more deadly, and maybe it's for that. I don't know. I just know we have it. My kids have it stocked over there, and they don't even walk in the kitchen and use it. I can't make them take it. See, when we just scoff at the things God gives us, then we partake of the plagues that the world partakes of.
Yep.
He has a plan, yep. Just like his plan of salvation.
Yep.
Everybody over here is sinning and fighting and hating and destroying, dying and going into hell for all eternity. And God says, I will come down, shed my own blood to pay for your sin. Just come, give me your life, choose me. And I'll take all your punishment and pay for your sin. And still people won't do it. It isn't God's fault if somebody
right.
goes to hell.
Right.
He did everything he could do
exactly.
to stop that. But they don't choose him. God does not want us to suffer the things that are coming.
Right.
He doesn't want us to. He wants us to be the rescue crew.
Yep.
He does not want us to judge those who are suffering. If we can get to them and they're still breathing, we want to try to get them to Jesus.
Right.
Even on their last breath.
Yep.
But what if they die before they take that breath? And we didn't go. We're to be the rescuers, taking his love. I know it's a hard message that all these things are coming, but it's a good message that he made a way. He made a way. His bright light is right here in the midst of it, in us, and we have to let him shine. We have to let him shine. We need to get ready to know how to let him shine.
Amen.
All the merchants of the earth weep and mourn because they cannot buy her merchandise. Again, I don't think it can be just one country because they all trade with so many different countries that have only one, even if it's America, who's great and mighty, even if only America no longer, she just burn out, gone, because it talks about fire and burning. So what if America is just, somebody drops an atom bomb on us and poof, we're nothing but burnt grass here. We don't have any ships. Few survivors here and there, but there's no wealth, there's nothing of value, we're no longer a great trade center. Yes, the whole world would look and go, wow, who would have thought that could happen to America? But they'd still keep trading with each other. Oh, sorry for you, America. We'll shed a tear today, forget you tomorrow. So I think it's the system. I think the whole system may go under because of, who knows, World War III? Maybe we'll have another world war. I don't know. And we may never know exactly. But we need to know what he wants us to know so we're ready for our part, standing in our position. I want to just briefly share some of the things that have come from February 23rd. Actually, the first one came on the 22nd. I had the wrong date on that one. The day before came on a Saturday, and our transformation day was on Sunday. Okay, on that Saturday, I also had a phone call from Nate. I didn't have this marked either. About a prophecy or something he heard 10 years ago, God preparing people. Things are going to happen very fast, soon. We need to be listening to God. Something about in front, on front. It's on the front burner. That's what it was. Something on the front burner. Okay, so I didn't even have that one marked. I don't remember all the details on that one. But there was, number one, I had a vision on the 22nd of new colors. As I was in prayer before church, and I was in a very deep, passionate place with the Lord, and I started seeing this swirling, deep purple in my mind. And as I just rested in it, little streaks of lime green started mixing in it, which God said was a new authority coming to us, a new type of authority. Then it moved on, and there was little bits of purple. There was fire. Then orange started coming through it, and it was a very, very bright, sharp orange, like a fire and like lightning streaks of fire. And I saw that as a destruction. On one side, God's fire on one side is destructive, but on the other side, it's purification. It's the fires of purification in us that burn away our sin. When we go, yay, that fire's come and burn away everything in me, I let go of everything. What you hang on to, you get your fingers burnt.
Right.
It's a time for deep fire refining of the Lord. On the 23rd, Larry Barnes had a vision. This vision was a continuance of one I had long ago, where I had seen three footsteps of God in the water, giant footsteps full of his people. In the first one, everybody was just laying down. And this was like 20 years ago when everybody was just soaking in his presence. All his people were just laying there. In the second footstep, they got up on their knees and began to crawl. And then in the third one, they were up on their feet with torches running in a very well-formed line. They were in unity and running with powerful torches. And then when that was ready, God opened up the sea and they ran up a mountain with these torches. They were the flame, the forerunners with flames, torchbearers running up that mountain of God to lead other people. So the vision that Larry had, he was in the mines in a very, very dark place covered with snow, snow-covered mountains. And he saw a great ominous mountain at a distance of snow. At the end of the road, there was a very gentle, peaceful pond right before you went up the mountain. And gathered around this pond were people in lounge chairs, very relaxed, enjoying themselves. And God said, most churches are stopping here because the mountain climbing is too hard. This is the location where those who want to go further must break out their climbing gear. The mountain had plateaus where someone could rest, but they weren't meant to stay there. They couldn't be seen from ground level, these little plateaus. You had to decide to climb the mountain in order to reach them. The higher you went, the smaller group of people would be there because some had quit at a plateau, wouldn't climb any higher. Near the top was a little city. No one on the ground nor on a plateau could see this little city. They knew it was there, but they hadn't been willing to pay the price to reach it. The Lord said that this, reaching this city, could not be done by an individual, that it had to be a team effort, a whole body working together. When a local church would realize and begin putting on their climbing gear, the demonic attacks would intensify. So God placed these plateaus as a shelter from the storm and resting places for those. Torchbearers were those who would help others to be focused and may lead others to join them from time to time. Okay, that's basically what his was about. That came one day before our Transformation Day. On Transformation Sunday, where we had a paradigm shift, this was an amazing day for the church. Janiyah had spoken on our focus to see God as Moses did. Got a parallel there, up that mountain? In fact, she had not heard Larry's, because I have not shared these visions with everybody. I might have shared one here, one there, but I have not shared them all with everyone. So some of you prophets have never heard most of these. So she spoke of us as his burning bushes, torches. We carry his presence and his fire to others. We are messengers of fire. During worship, we sang, come, let's go up to the mountain. Very anointed. Then the music slowed down as we were soaking in his presence. There was deep healing and something new happened on Apostle Harvey. The team called Harvey and I up to the front and prayed over us for a very, very long time. Seems that there was a shift, a change, a paradigm shift in this ministry today. It's the opening, beginning of something. Many of our ministers were under a big attack that morning not to come, but all of them broke through and came. Yeah, that's amazing. February 25th, 2 days later. I saw God as a light, as a very thick, living, flowing, swirling light. He was bright, white, full of life, but he also, that could penetrate our mind and our heart and our will and go deep into our spirit. He was bright, yet he also had softest blues, purples, and pinks. He had vibrant yellows, oranges, lights flashing and striking like rods of lightning. His light moved forward and revealed a path before me. Then with a mighty powerful force, this light forced open a giant double door of revelation and opportunity. The light carried me in as I just rested in him. He gently ushered me in and forward and through these great doors into the unknown. There was no fear, just trust and patient waiting. Suddenly the light was too bright. I buried my eyes in his hand. It's as if his hand had become like a huge cloud of light that carried me there. I cuddled into his palm face down to hide my eyes from this light. Then the Lord moved a finger so that I could peek. I saw a space filled with the brightest light, and within it were many, many, many colors, all mixed and moving and flowing. Some were flowing like waves. Others were combining to form a huge wave. The room was full of light shows, rolling, swirling, twisting, shooting, yet each moving toward the formation of a huge wave. They will all come together in unity to form this mighty wave, this mighty move, and when it peaks, it will roll toward land, toward us. It will break upon our land, upon the earth, and pour out this mighty, multicolored move of God. It was very, very multifaceted, the things that would be coming with it. It's been forming for a very, very long time. The color of mystery in Revelation was at the base of the wave. I've seen that color, but I've never been allowed to share it or paint it. But it's what he calls the color of Revelation. It was at the base of the wave, not fully revealed. But this revelation was a powerful force that would push and carry this wave to land. We must seek the revelation of his word. But in that seeking, we must let love carry these things and deliver them, love, mercy, and truth. Revelation lays at the base. It comes up from the deep. It's given to the prophets and handed to the messengers. But it is powerless without the lights that carry it to shore. That's the messengers. Revelation alone is not received without the conduit of love. Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy, and he is love, and he is fire. Fire is in his love. Love burns through barriers of iron, and it melts the resistive metal. Only the revelation of truth alone can pound against these iron walls, but never break through. Only revelation alone cannot break through. Love alone can melt the walls. When we mix oils, when we do fragrances and we mix these fragrances, we have a carrier oil, like olive oil or coconut oil. It's called the carrier oil. Love is the carrier oil of everything God brings. There was a great impartation of light and healing in the church service that week. No, in the prayer meeting that morning. Jackson had a vision. I'm going to be brief with his because it was very long. Out in his yard, he saw deep, deep snow. And when he went out, he stepped and he sunk right down in. Jesus pulled him up. And then he put him into a tunnel that led into a room full of control panels. It was like a scientific lab or a military base where he saw all these different lights and things. And he saw in these panels of lights, which there was massive, massive walls of them, at the end of each panel, there were flashing red lights like warning, warning, warning. We're in the warning stage of something. As he came out of the tunnel through the snow back in his house in this vision, he felt like his house was a picture of heaven and his yard was the earth. And he saw this snow in the yard begin forming a big whirlwind, and then a whirlwind wave that began to go out and just destroy everything. His porch was like the safe zone for those who had not yet understood about Christ. They had not rejected him, but they had not yet accepted him. It was a safe zone, and those were the ones we were to reach so that they wouldn't be taken up with this thing that was coming. That came from a 10-year-old child. The same day that Jackson had that, I saw a posting by Pastor Dave Alderman, who's an apostle over a lot of churches and pastors. He was driving in his car, and he looked out on the fields of snow, and he had a vision of the snow forming this big whirlwind and God's angels above it causing it to happen. That was one day after Jackson's snow vision. On March 4th, I had a vision I really questioned. Jesus turned me into a little bluebird. He does that a lot. I fly in a lot of my visions. And the Lord was looking at me, and then a breeze took me, and I was flying. And I landed on a high branch of a tree, but the tree was black, and everything around was black, as though there had been a fire, a destruction. And I just saw all this wasteland after the fire. And it reminded me that I had had a vision of being a little bluebird sitting on a sign in New York and seeing the streets devastated. This is one of the first visions, prophecies I ever had, and I didn't know what to do with it. And then shortly after, we saw the Twin Towers thing where there was devastation and 9/11. And I asked the Lord, why did you tell me that and didn't give me anyone to tell it to? And he said it was part of my training at that time to prove that it was him speaking to me. But this was very much like that one, where I was a bird flying in and seeing after the destruction had already happened. And it was like there had been an explosion or a bomb or a fire just wiped everything out. But I don't know where I was. The Lord said, I don't know for sure where I was, but at the end of the vision, the Lord said the names of these places, Puerto Rico, Peru, Portuguese, Portland, and Pontiac. And I thought, okay, I must be in my imagination. I just got on a P roll, you know, thinking every town I could think of with a P, because God knows Portuguese is a language, not the name of Portugal. So, you know, God is smart, and if he's really speaking, he's not going to call it the language of Portuguese. But I went and looked it up on the internet, Portugal, and it said, officially called the Republic of Portuguese. I went, oh, okay. Well, God said, watch the news, be ready to warn, but do not wait until it hits Portland to warn Pontiac, or it would be too late. See it when it hits Portuguese. Well, as I've looked up these places, I believe God showed me that Portland means Portland, Oregon, over on the west coast of America. That happens to be the location of a lot of high-tech companies, Silicon Valley. There's just a lot of importance in that town. It's a trade seaport. Every one of these places he told me to look at, except Pontiac, every one of them is a seaport. They're all a shore, right on the ocean, where they trade. They're trade centers. Okay, the next one. These are brief. I mean, we have years of these. This is just 1 month. This is just 1 month. Judy saw a cattle train. There were two cars to the train. They were full of children who were reaching out the windows for help. No one cared. So the train pushed forward and with a huge something. Oh, like a blade, just pushed it right off the cliff. Roxanne then said, well, we're the rescuers, so we're going to go down there and get those kids, you know, and we're going to rescue them. Kids have been in the prophecies for many years that what God is going to do in winning souls and in these last days, he's going to be ministering through children while they're still children. So in seeing those trains go off a cliff, we're letting our kids go by, and we have to get them trained. That's why I've started up working with the kids again, and a lot of people are helping. that we cannot let the kids go. They are going to be some of the main ministers for what's coming. They have to be trained. Then Judy saw kids standing in front of the congregation sharing that they want more than to just be pampered or babysat. They want to know who they are, what their purpose is. They want us to give them a chance. The children shared verses, told us what they had to say, but adults weren't taking them serious. They weren't listening to them. So we need to really listen to the children. I know when last week when Jackson was doing worship, at one point he had, it sounded to me like a washboard, and he's going on that wood, you know? And that was so irritating to me. And I thought, oh, that doesn't belong there. It doesn't sound good right there. But you know what? When I first heard a violin, it irritated me too, because it felt like whining. I'm going, that's just the whining instrument. It's just like you're crying all the time, you know? Whiny singers bothered me. But that's because I didn't want to cry. I didn't want to touch my emotions. I was in a nice, safe, cold place where I couldn't get hurt, and that was touching me. Well, I don't know what that wood was doing, but I'm going to let it irritate me, because God's moving through our children, and he's moving in new ways. What we think may be out of beat, out of step, they're running around up here, and we might be going, oh, those kids are running. Those kids are running. Maybe there's something in that. I mean, we need to stop them when we're trying to listen, but we need to train them. We need to build character in our homes where they're living. We need to get them ready. Amen. And we need to train them here to minister. Very important. And it's in a lot of our visions of the past. Nate had a dream of infiltrators, attacks, infiltration coming into the church. Our leadership is dealing with that. You know, as that comes up, we've already dealt with one of those and it's taken care of. But God gives us warning, what they're going to look like, what they're going to act like, how to deal with them. And he deals with them in love.
Right.
To try to win them.
Right.
They may come in to deceive us. He tries to win them out of that.
Right.
Usually, once God's light shines, they run. But we still try. I want to say this because I am inviting. I missed the war one. Oh, here it is. Larry had a vision of the two horses that came. There's a lot more to this I'll share with our prophets, but basically there was a black horse with a black rider. Usually that means death. There was another evil rider on a speckled horse, multi-colored things happening again, and he threw down this gauntlet, like challenging us. And in this, Larry saw that there were a lot of little black spiders that needed to be swept up and thrown out, little stuff to take care of, to clean up, before the bigger challenges come. Judy saw an airplane. This was just on the 16th, I think. Judy, when we were in morning prayer here, saw a big passenger plane going across, like from D.C., going across toward the west, southwest. And there was like a jagged-edged hole at the cockpit, and a big-headed eagle stuck his head out there. But then he transformed into a vulture. I'm not even going to comment on that, except that Harvey really saw it right away, too. And at that point, when I began looking, all of these visions, God, all of these visions, and he said, we need to connect the dots. We need our prophets to look at these things, pray over them, find out how we bring it together and what we're supposed to be doing right now in preparation. I know this is a heavy, very serious message, but it's a serious time we're in. And God is so good. He's so loving and kind, and he's funny. You know, he dances. I have seen him dance so many times. I've seen him invite me to dance with him, and it was like his hands were right on mine as we danced together. That's happened several times. He knows how to rejoice. He knows how to laugh. He's very funny. He's got a sense of humor. He's loving and gentle and kind, but he's also a consuming fire and a God of judgment. In our time of judgment, is drawing closer and closer and closer. We need to be bringing the serious warnings. At the same time, our little clowns are bringing his messages in a lighthearted way. And that's what he does. We used to travel around, and Harvey preached really hard messages, you know. Repent, you know. And then he would make a joke. And then he'd repent. And somebody said, you know, brother, you get up there and you slap us in the face and then you make us laugh. And then while we're laughing, you slap us in the face again. No, but that's kind of what God does. When he has to tell you hard things, he also adds in some softness, some humor. So you don't forget how gentle and kind and loving he is. Because he doesn't want us to just get scared. He wants us to just get close to his safety and his love and his goodness.
Exactly.
So I'm inviting you, come out of her. Come out of this system. Come out of this system. Whatever's got you stuck in it, come out of it. Give your life fully to God.